A reading from 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this, we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believe that the love that God has sent has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this way, that we may have boldness of the day and of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, I love God, and hate their brothers and sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this. Those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. Word of God, word of life.
A reading from Psalm 22. From you comes my praise in great congregation. My vows I will pay before those who fear him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. And all the families of the nations shall worship before him. For dominion help belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. To him indeed shall all who sleep in the earth bow down. Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust, and I shall live for him. Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord and proclaim his deliverance to a people yet unborn, saying that he has done it. Word of God, word of life.
Chariot. Actors, you may come out and take your places, please. Lovely. This morning, our third reading will be acted out by some very talented young people, so you can remain seated for this reading. Today, we will hear a story about Philip, a friend and disciple of Jesus, hello Philip, and a high official of the Queen of Ethiopians, the Ethiopian eunuch. Let us begin the tale of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch.
Time out for a sec.
Did you know that because he was an Ethiopian and a eunuch, this man was considered an outsider for two different reasons? One, because he was a foreigner, and two, a gender minority.
Okay, thank you, Emmy. As I was saying, the tale of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. One day, an angel of the Lord said to Philip,
"Go south to the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza."
"Sure, I can do that."
So, Philip started on his journey. Now, there was an Ethiopian eunuch who was a court official of Candace, the queen of Ethiopians. He was in charge of her entire treasury, a very important job. He had come to Jerusalem to worship.
Did you know that back then people Sorry. Did you know that because of laws in Leviticus, the Ethiopian man would not have been allowed to go into the temple and worship? I can't believe it.
Okay. As I was saying, the Ethiopian eunuch had come to Jerusalem to worship and was on his way home, seated in his chariot. He was reading the prophet Isaiah.
A reading from Isaiah.
Did you know that back then people only knew how to read out loud? They didn't know it was even possible to read silently to yourself. It wasn't until around the 12th century that reading silently to yourself became a thing, and not until the late 15th and 16th centuries did it become common.
Okay. So, there was the Ethiopian eunuch reading Isaiah out loud.
A reading from Isaiah.
Philip was still walking when the Spirit said to him,
"Look, there's a chariot coming. Go say hi and join him on his chariot."
Philip ran up alongside the chariot, trying to keep up, and said,
"Hey there, do you know what you're reading?"
The Ethiopian eunuch looked confused.
Not really. I need someone to guide me. Do you want to hop in and come sit with me?
Sure.
So Philip agreed, and he climbed into the chariot and sat beside the Ethiopian eunuch. The eunuch explained that he was reading from the book of Isaiah out loud, because that's what people did back then.
Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its sheather, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life was taken away from earth.
Philip got excited when he heard this.
Hey, I know this book. Let me explain it to you.
So Philip sat with the Ethiopian eunuch and began to explain the scriptures, starting from that very passage and going through the whole book of Isaiah.
Did you know that in the same section of Isaiah that the man is reading, the prophet Isaiah talks about how the foreigner and the eunuch can be joined to God and be given a name better than sons and daughters? That's like really good news for people like him who have been treated as outsiders.
Okay, come in. Such good news. Thank you. So, Philip was explaining the scriptures, and he told the eunuch all about his friend Jesus and the good news of God's love. The Ethiopian eunuch was grateful.
Wow, this makes so much sense now.
As they continued on in their chariot, they came to some water. Ooh. The Ethiopian eunuch ordered the chariot to stop. The eunuch had a question for Philip.
Check out this water. Do you think I can get baptized right now and be named and claimed as a beloved child of God?
Of course you can. God loves you. Let's go.
So, they stopped the chariot, and both Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch got out and went down to the water together. Philip baptized the Ethiopian eunuch, and when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more. The eunuch went on his way rejoicing. Happy dance, yes. And Philip found himself passing through the region, going from town to town, telling the good news of God's great love to anyone who would listen. The end. Take a bow. Yes. Yeah, that'd be great. And now I'd like to invite Pastor Heather forward for a few words.
Thank you, Kelsey. Thank you, kids. That was awesome. And I love that story so much. Kelsey asked me to say just a couple quick things about it. When Miss Becky told me that was going to be the story today, I got really, really excited because I love the story. Because like Emmy kept interrupting and telling us, it's a story about someone who was on the outside, who was maybe not treated that well for a bunch of different reasons. He was a foreigner. He was from a different country that people didn't know of, that was like far, far away, that was like, who is this guy? Where is he coming from? And he didn't fit into the gender roles of the time. And he also was probably a slave, because that's how people usually ended up being eunuchs. So he was a slave, he was a gender minority, he was a foreigner. And he was also not Jewish. And for all of those reasons, he, even though he really, really wanted to come and worship, he probably wasn't allowed to come in and worship with everyone else. So imagine how sad he must have been as he was going back home after he'd made this long journey to come and worship. He'd been turned away and he's so sad, but God sent Philip very enthusiastically, thank you, Flynn, to go and meet this man and to teach him, and he ends up baptizing him. But my favorite part of the story is not just that the Ethiopian eunuch is suddenly included, but that Philip learns something new, because Philip had been taught that this man shouldn't be included. He had been taught that it was right for him not to be part of the community. But when God sent him to meet the Ethiopian eunuch, and he talks with him, and he gets to know him, and he learns from, I'm guessing, he probably learned something from what this man had to say, he changes his heart and his mind, and he learns about how much bigger God's love is than what he had thought before. So for the grown-ups, there's this book called Transforming, The Bible and the Lives of Transgender Christians by Austin Hartke, who is a transgender biblical scholar. And I want to read you just a quick little quote that he wrote about this story and about how it's not just a conversion story about the Ethiopian, but it's a bigger story of change and conversion. Hartke writes, "In a way, the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch is a story about two conversions. The eunuch may be the one who gets baptized, but Philip is the person who has to change his metric for who's in and who's out. Even though this story is 2,000 years old, a third conversion is still taking place. Will the church eventually realize that when God's love overpowers all human distinctions, nothing can prevent us from full inclusion?" Like Kelsey said, God's love is so much bigger than we even can understand, and it truly is big enough for all of us. Thanks be to God. Amen.